charitable and compassionate toward will hold up another person in order to benefit the poor man.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Sorry, welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. For those of you listening to the recorded broadcast, you have no idea why I started the show this morning with sorry. The reason is simply this, that we've been off the air here. Had a problem with our recording equipment this morning, so hopefully right now the Christian Worldview show is being recorded, and we had just been talking about the history of liberty, how it decayed in the United States of America, how it went downhill through the various events that had transpired during the war between the states and under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as well as many other little features here and there. And we were going to go to a break and come back and talk about the different kinds of reactive policies and so forth. And we may end up going ahead and jumping in right now because we certainly don't want to have to go back and repeat all of that detail for the virtue of those who certainly listened by the recording. Sorry about that. Sorry about all the trouble this morning. We're just glad we're back on the air. We're glad you've joined us here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hopefully our technical snafus will become less and less over time for the time being. Unfortunately, we've had our fill of them. So thanks for hanging in there with us this morning on the Christian Worldview program. Well, there are different kinds of public policy, and we do want to talk about those things as Christians. We do need to know what they are. Before we do so, I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, Confederate Memorial Day is coming up on Saturday, April 30th at 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. It's sponsored by the Lawrence Briars Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information and details, please call James DeShields after 6 p.m. on weekdays in Lawrence County at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. We also want to remind you that the Institute on the Constitution is occurring every Monday night, starting last night, from 6:30 till 8 p.m. at South Point Baptist Church. For information about this event, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. You're cordially invited to enjoy friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about America's history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Call Pastor Tony at 269-1443 for info or to register. And it may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And then our friends at the Times Examiner would welcome you to get a subscription for $25 a year to their great paper, $27 a year out of state. You can reach Bob Dill at 864-268-0576 or speak to Laverl, 864-268-0576, and get a copy of the Times Examiner sent to you every week. The Times Examiner is chock full of wonderful columns written by great famous people like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell, Joe Sobrin. There's also Marvin Olasky in there, Phyllis Schlafly. There is a number of local favorites, including yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, and Mr. Ben Graydon, all in the same edition. So we'd be happy to have you there to take a look at the Times Examiner columns. My columns for the last couple of weeks, few weeks, and the following few weeks are going to be on Christian Views on Rebellion, an absolutely essential thing to think about, and we hope you get a copy of the paper to read those. Or you can go online to policyofliberty.net and click under the section entitled Articles and Papers, and you will be able to read all of those online on your own computer, print them at your leisure and read them as you will. The entire series has been recorded into a Liberty Minutes as well. On the front page and as well as on the Articles and Papers page, there are links to a listen to the various Christian Views on Resistance and Rebellion. And you can find that there. Click on it, and for 46 minutes, you'll hear me reading those papers in a format made for the Liberty Minutes. I encourage you to do so. Start thinking as a Christian. Find out what the American War for Independence was all about, how Christians viewed it, and how we should view it today, looking backwards towards that whole time. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to try to go to a scheduled break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here at Christian Worldview, we are hurling liberalism with great force. We're showing it for what it is. We're disclosing to the American public and all those who love liberty, to Christians in particular, why they need to oppose the evil statism around them and what the history of statism as a cancerous, malicious tumor has been. Why the libertarian principles, the freedom principles of the Founding Fathers are the most congruent with those principles of us who love liberty and cherish individual freedom from the state. Well, welcome. We'd like to welcome a caller to our show this morning. Paul is on the line, and Paul is calling all the way from Georgia and normally listens to us on the webcast. Been having some trouble getting it this morning, but at any rate, he is a faithful listener, and we appreciate, Paul, you're giving us a call this morning. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, good morning, Dr. Coben. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for the great show and then exposing the faulty Keynesian public policy that Congress and the state legislatures have embarked in the last, oh, what, maybe 90 years now, 100 years?
Well, even more than that, I think. Yeah, but it's been well over 100, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's exactly true. But like I said, being, I figured I'd give you a farm report. I'm farming a little bit this morning and just wondering, you know, what the Congress could repeal to get the monopolies out of, you know, out of the farm industry. Out of, maybe consumers don't understand how it, you know, that jacks up prices and limits their, you know, choice of commodities in the grocery store.
Well, it's a great point. We just don't take much thought about this or protective tariffs either way.
Exactly.
For instance, most Americans don't realize that they end up paying something like a 40% higher price for sugar than anywhere else in the world, or more than that. In fact, it may even be as high as 80%. The latest tariff slips my mind, but I think it's some very high amount. I know orange juice is also around 40% higher because we want to so-called protect Floridan farmers from the Brazilian imports. What this does is cost American consumers an extraordinary amount of money because things like sugar, for instance, are used in lots of products. Well, the same thing happens in farming, where government regulators step in. They either monopolize or control prices, and then they regulate how much can be grown or how much can be produced of any particular product, and how it should get to market. And what this does is reduce consumer choices. It causes prices to rise. This is just par for the course we've seen time and again. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Christians don't realize sometimes just how much regulation costs us, Paul. And,
no, I don't think they do. I don't think they have a clue. And then there's the disinformation like the GATT and FATT and NAFTA, and it's just Willian doublespeak that it's not free trade at all. It's more controlled government-sanctioned monopoly. And it'd be nice when people wake up, wouldn't it?
Oh, it sure would. Yeah, those things are not free market agreements at all. Those are centralized globalization programs that promote socialism and neoconservatism around the globe. CAFTA, NAFTA. All of these things are not free trade. I remember Walter Williams holding a copy of NAFTA back in the 90s when it was coming out, saying, you know, free trade only requires one page or maybe two. The following nations shall not have any tariffs between them. And everybody sign at the bottom. And he holds up this document of 1,600 pages. He says, all the rest of this is just pure socialism and globalism and political control. Don't believe that this is a free trade agreement because it's not. And you're right, absolutely right. These things are not free trade agreements. They're disguised.
Only in name. In name only, sure enough.
Yeah,
sure enough.
Very true.
Okay, well, I just wanted to go and offer my support to the show. Thank you for doing a great job.
Okay.
And keep it up, and we'll listen when we're able.
Thanks, and I appreciate the call this morning, Paul. Please call back again.
You're listening to
Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to be coming up to a break real shortly here. Stay tuned for Christian Worldview as we begin to talk about some of the important issues of the day, whether it be Christian views of the state or rebellion, but also the various kinds of public policy. In addition to that, we'll be talking about some current articles and events as we have time today, be interspersing them around. We'll be back in just a second with more of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from, as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a rather dreary day here in Greenville, South Carolina. About 53 degrees outside, going to get up to only 63 today under scattered thunderstorms and rain all day. So be prepared for that as you make your way out the door for work today. Glad you've joined us, whether on the FM dial or whether you're listening through the webcast on the internet. It's great to be here on Christian Worldview. It's great to have you here. Hope you're thinking better today. Hope you're learning something new. I talked to a listener yesterday, just wanted to give an encouraging word about being a faithful listener to TRN and the Christian Worldview show, saying he hears things on this show that he doesn't hear anywhere else. And folks, ain't it the truth? That's a good Southern way to say something. It's just true, because if you look around to all the other radio shows, they're run by neocons, even those masquerading as libertarians, like a couple of local yokels around here in Greenville and elsewhere. They are really not promoting liberty from a libertarian perspective. They are not constitutionalists. These are people who are neocons, who like to talk about the issues of the day. Don't have a clue, frankly, a lot of times what they're talking about when it comes to economics or public policy. But hey, they're just typical of radio announcers. Here on the Tyranny Response Network, we have atypical ones. We have informed people. We have thinking Christians. We have people who love liberty and the vision of the founders. Very unusual in this day and age. It's also unusual for people to be well educated on things that are of importance to us. My research staff sent me up something from the Arkansas News Bureau called Dean's Formula: Jesus, Balanced Budgets, and Neutrality. It's by a fellow named John Brummett, and he says along the campaign path, Dean, former Democratic Vermont governor and presidential hopeful, Dean, along the campaign path, remarked that his favorite New Testament book was Job, which actually is in the Old Testament. See, the problem is for those Christians of you, or those of you who are Christians listening, is that most people don't read the Bible. Even many Christians don't read the Bible too often, so they don't know if Job's in the Old or New Testament. All they've got to do is cite some verse or quote it out of context or whatever else, and they'll woo everyone else into believing that what they're talking about is biblical or correct or in some way accurate. This is simply not the case. It's much like the person who speaks just a little bit of Spanish and yet can carry on a small conversation with very, very poor language schools, can fool the rest of everyone they meet, and claim to be fluent in Spanish. You'll get a job and get credentialed as being bilingual. Because other people have no idea if what they're listening to is gibberish, if it's correct grammar or not. They may well be bilingual as far as they're concerned. It's the same thing here in this case, folks. People don't know because they haven't read the Bible. It's the furthest thing from their thoughts. What a strange event if you look at our history, because early on in America's history, everyone read the Bible. Even people who didn't believe were familiar with the Bible. Benjamin Franklin, for instance, and others who definitely did not want to embrace the Christian faith for themselves, unfortunately. Well, these men knew the Bible. Not so today. And certainly the case with Mr. Dean. I don't know why his favorite book is Job, but he said, this article continues, it was insinuated that Dean, like Alan Alda character on West Wing, wasn't all that much for church going. The way to insinuate such a thing is to call a man perhaps the most secular candidate for the presidency in modern times. I will tell them the Democratic Party is going to have a national message, and it's not going to come from the top down, from them up, but from them up. We're going to look at what we have in common, not what divides us. The people of Minnesota and Arkansas see a lot more things the same than they see differently. He said he would give the state chairman marching orders, find out and articulate what Democratic message is or ought to be in your state, and we'll synthesize all 50 and come up with one. Ooh, guys are real sharp loser there. Dean said that passing on debt to children was a Republican value that Democrats didn't share. Guns aren't an issue, he said. If Philadelphia wants gun control, fine. If Alabama doesn't, also fine. Well, he's getting some state rights lip service. Any rate, just interesting that the Tyranny Response Network research staff happened to find that. Thought that was of interest to know just how little people do understand and know about the Bible. Well, unfortunately, Christians do not know much about public policy, and part of what we do here at Christian Worldview is to educate Christians so that they can become more aware of public policy, to know what's going on. And sure enough, we find that here on the program, you're going to learn about it. There are four kinds of public policy for those of you who can take mental notes this morning. And if you happen to be in a place by a desk that you can actually write down notes, you may want to do so. Any homeschoolers listening, for instance. There are three real broad categories of public policy, and the last one actually has two very large subcategories. So in a sense, you can say there are four public policy varieties. The first variety of public policy is outlined in Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. In fact, all three of them are outlined in that book. My book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you want to see a copy of this book, you can either pick one up online or at Amazon.com, or if you happen to be attending the Institute for the Constitution or the Institute on the Constitution at South Point Baptist Church, you're welcome to call and register for that, by the way, at 269-1443 in the 864 area code, Pastor Tony Romo. If you're attending that, you'll find on the book table that book available for $11. That's one way to get it. Another way is to go to the webpage and actually download it for, I think it's $3 or $3.95 off of the policyofliberty.net webpage. And you can get the lowdown on these four kinds of public policy. The first kind of public policy is what we call reactive policy. A reactive policy is based on a philosophy known as negative rights. That's the right. The negative rights philosophy is what was held by the founding fathers, that the only rights we have are rights against government or against the state, I should say, either one, or against other people who want to abuse either our life, our liberty, or our property. For some reason, in political science, they were dubbed negative rights. Sounds kind of peculiar to us or curious in its use of language. But these reactive policies which come up from it include things like military defense, defense against infectious disease, perhaps, and criminal justice. That's the vision of the founders, and Christians can be in support, I think, of reactive policy. Why? Because we believe self-defense is a good thing, whether it be self-defense from a predator like a microorganism or an animal, or self-defense from a criminal in our midst, or from a foreign aggressor. These are the objectives of national or of collective action in a reactive sense. We react against those who attack us and assail us. Good thing. That's the whole reason you have a government. However, governments quickly devolve into states if not kept under constant surveillance and check. And even when they are, sometimes they can rise up with an army and attack those who love liberty and enslave them, which is everything that Abraham Lincoln did in his horrible war of aggression in the 1860s. After this transformation has occurred, whether by violence or, again, by slow erosion, you have two other forms of public policy to arise. One is the inefficient provision of goods and services, of more market-provided goods and services. Things like mail service, for instance, although this, I know, began in the Constitution. It was a mistake to put that in there. Things like the county building inspector, or for instance, the mechanics that work on the county cars or state vehicles. There are other kinds of inefficient provision as well. Any kind of food grading service or regulatory body that regulates business is a form of inefficient provision. We could think of many hundreds of things government does that markets can also do and can do better. Generally, anything done in the free market is done efficiently and effectively, whereas things that are done by government or by the state are going to be subject to politicizing effects, to inefficiencies because there'll be payoffs and corruption, but also inefficiencies because of the lack of knowledge and the lack of proper incentives that bureaucrats face. The bureaucrats are not entrepreneurs. It's one thing to spend your own money. It's something else entirely to spend other people's money. And so we run into all sorts of grievous policies and problems on account of these inefficient provision policies, where goods and services that could be provided by the market are instead provided by the government or by the state. So those are the first two large categories. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the last one. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
For anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Our great research staff has pulled up from Wordsmith the word pontificate this morning, intransigent verb. Anyway, to speak in a pompous and dogmatic manner is what to pontificate means, in case some of you want to increase your vocabulary a little bit this morning. It comes from medieval Latin pontificatus, that's right, a past participle, to pontificare, to be an ecclesiastic, from ponti, pons, bridge, and facere, to make. So a pontifex, or a priest, was literally a bridge maker between here and the hereafter. The verb pontificate comes from the reputation of a priest to speak bombastically. The term usually originated from the Indo-European root pent, to tread, that gave us other words such as the English as English fine, Dutch pad, path, French pont, bridge, and Russian sputnik, traveling companion. The word pontificate is pronounced pontificate. When used to denote the office of pontiff. Well, at any rate, that's interesting to know. Why did they send that to me, you wonder? Well, we want to know what pontificate means, and also because Representative Ron Paul has slipped up a little bit. We really like Ron Paul in general, but here he is before the House of Representatives on April 6th, honoring Pope John Paul II as a consistent pro-life figure. He says, "Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to join my colleagues in paying tribute to the life and legacy of Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II was one of the great religious leaders of modern times and an eloquent champion of human freedom and dignity. Unlike all too many misguided religious leaders, the Pope understood that liberty, both personal and economic, is a necessary condition for the flourishing of human virtue." Of course, we just read Dr. John Robbins, talking about the Pope promoting autocracy and socialism on a recent show here, A Christian Worldview, and contradicting what this little eulogy, I suppose, that Representative Ron Paul offers. Unfortunately, he looked upon John Paul II as being better than he was, although he was pro-life, and we do applaud him for that very much. The rest of his life and his being and his misleading millions into hell by his doctrine, we cannot applaud, and we cannot applaud either his tendencies towards utilizing the state for promotion of various proactive policies, if not socialism itself. So interesting that those things came up today. And since we're talking about public policy and the different types, I thought it might be interesting to interject that just quickly. Anyway, we've been talking about the policies of inefficient provision, and we've talked about the policies that are reactive. The third category, the broad category of public policy, is what is known as proactive public policy. Now, proactive public policy really has two broad classifications, so that for all intents and purposes, there are effectively four different kinds of public policy. The first branch of proactive public policy is proactive public policy aimed at income redistribution. These are the welfare state policies which take from one and give to another. They are those that take from those who worked and give to those who do not. They take from those who are so-called rich and give to those who are the so-called poor. And examples of this include one of the people's favorite kinds of welfare today, Social Security. People who stop working then leech off those who do work in a Ponzi scheme sort of fashion, where Americans contribute 12.4%. They use the word contribution there euphemistically. It's really just a tax. They are taxed 12.4% flat of the first $90,000 that are earned, and these funds are then go into a general so-called trust fund, which is immediately evacuated and replaced with a piece of worthless paper, an IOU that's non-marketable. The government then spends that any way it wants, and one thing it spends it on is the people giving just a handout to people who no longer work, who have been looted for years prior to having received their so-called benefits. Other kinds of welfare redistribution include Section 8 housing, low-income housing, in other words. There are also kinds of redistribution for students, whether in low-interest loans that are deferred, have deferred payment features so that you don't have to pay them back, and taxpayers instead pay for that interest while a person's in school. Or they have various kinds of grant programs. We also have strict welfare, where people just don't want to work anymore, and they're not old enough to retire, so they just go down to the office and get a check for not working. And we have, because they aren't working, I guess you would say. We also have food stamps. So these are just examples of giving taking from one person and giving to another. These are proactive policies aimed at redistribution of wealth or redistribution of income in society. The other kinds of proactive policy, the second branch, are proactive policies aimed at modifying or changing one's behavior. These are the big brother policies we often find, we often call them at any rate, including things like seatbelt and helmet laws. You know, you're too dumb to be able to know on your own that you need to buckle up because you don't do it on your own. So we need to proactively use public policy to make it against the law to not wear your seatbelt. So that if you don't, then the government will collect a tax called a traffic tax or a traffic fine or a ticket or whatever it might be, a citation, whatever euphemistic language is used. They increase their tax revenue if you disobey. And so they fund pretty good police departments in order to go out and make sure that you conform to the standard set by the proactive policy. Now, these standards are usually set up by philosophers and academics who have various credentials in the fields and have very important public interest reasons for doing so. But these different kinds of behavior modification schemes are commonplace in through the state. So what are the other examples of behavior modification policies? Well, anything having to do with truancy laws or public or compulsory attendance, trying to get you to support public schooling, forcing people to vote as they do in certain countries. Anything that tells you that where government tells you, look, you're too dumb to know this on your own, but we're going to help you by forcing you to do the right thing, is a behavior modification program, proactive policy. From a Christian worldview, as we'll come back in just a minute and summarize this again, but I'll just say right now, from a Christian worldview, anything proactive is going to be an evil, vicious policy that Christians should oppose. And I don't think they even have an obligation morally to obey, even though they might obey it out of pragmatic or expedient reasons, just not to be hassled. Whereas reactive policies are something that we can generally support, and other kinds of policies like inefficient provision, we might not find so repugnant as immorally having a moral problem with them, but they indeed are not good things, and Christians should not support them either. When we come back, we'll talk about this and other great stuff on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned.